Okay, so today we're going to move on from meaning to belief. And I think most of what I'm going to say is about belief in general and belief in relation to metaphysics and objectivity. And then a bit about science at the end. There wasn't really enough time for me to say as much about science as I'd like to, actually. But anyway, it's a bit of an outline of a view of science as well. To start with, let's think about belief in relation to what we were looking at yesterday. So we were talking about meaning and the way in which meaning is both cognitive and emotive and depends on embodied experience extended through metaphor. So when we start thinking about beliefs, well, as I mentioned yesterday, beliefs consist of propositions that they're usually expressed in sentences, which obviously depend on meanings. They have those propositions have to be meaningful for us to start with in order to become beliefs. What I mean by a belief generally is not just what you could call an explicit belief, so not just what we say we believe, for example, but also includes implicit belief, so what it could be inferred that we are committed to taking as the case through our behaviour, for example. And that's partly because even when we're dealing with the left hemisphere, in terms of the brain, the left hemisphere tends towards this attachment to conscious representations at the moment, but I've certainly been assured by Ian McGilchrist on this point that the left hemisphere also has an unconscious hinterland. So the way in which we create representations is sort of propped up within the left hemisphere by a whole load of assumptions that we may not actually articulate or be able to articulate. A dog has beliefs as well, because it acts in a certain way, which on the basis of which we assume that it's has a certain commitment to a representation of reality. But that's the distinction really between just a represented context and beliefs, because there's this element of commitment involved, and that element of commitment goes together with the idea that we can satisfy our desires within that represented context. So obviously, when I'm eating breakfast, I believe there's a piece of toast in front of me, and that belief is essential for me to then eat the piece of toast. So it fits in with my purposes of nutrition or whatever those purposes are, to have that belief. So the toast has to be more than just meaningful to me. I could have a meaningful piece of toast, but I've got to believe in the toast to eat it. You've got to go a bit further. Okay, so let's say a little bit about the integration of belief. The integration of belief is going to depend on the two levels of integration we've already talked about. It's going to depend on the integration of the meaning of the symbols in which the belief is expressed or understood. And it's also going to depend on the desires that motivate that belief. So my belief that there's a piece of toast in front of me will depend on my desire for the piece of toast in some way. And it will also depend on the idea of a piece of toast being meaningful to me in the first place. The three levels, fit together, they stack up together, but belief is at the top, dependent particularly on the other two. There are different ways in which we can actually go about integrating belief. So if you think back to yesterday, we were talking about cognitive models. Yeah, so a cognitive model is what we've a representation we built up in the left hemisphere of what's going on. And the right hemisphere, we said, is in charge of perception and metaphorical extension and so on. Yeah, so a wider sense of meanings held by the right hemisphere. So within a cognitive model, we can integrate our beliefs through making them more coherent. So we can make them more coherent through a basically intellectual process, through examining those beliefs. So that's what tends to go on overwhelmingly in academic study of one kind or another. So broadly, greater coherence in our beliefs is created by analysis. And obviously that also includes the examination of observations and experiences and relating them to the cognitive model we have and seeing whether we think they fit in with those experiences, with that model. That's still a valuable process because it makes our cognitive model fit together better. It makes it more adequate to whatever it is that model is trying to represent in our experience. But of course it's not the whole picture, which is the point I was emphasizing yesterday, that we have a cognitive model, but the key illusion that the ego perpetuates is that cognitive model is it. That's the truth, ultimately. So there's another process involved as well, apart from just coherence and analysis. It's the process of synthesis, and synthesis joins together cognitive models, makes bigger cognitive models out of smaller ones, if you like. So you know, you could have a very fragmented view of the world where, you know, well, take a simple example. You could have one view where when you go to church and you fit in with the religious worldview you've got there, but you just don't think about how that relates to home or work. And, you know, so in these different other places, you've got other cognitive models. So a process of synthesis there might bring those together and think, oh, well, actually, the things in setting church, you know, should I apply those in work? Oh, yeah, maybe I shouldn't steal things from work because the vicar said so. You know, so you've then got greater coherence, but you can only start creating that bigger coherence in a big cognitive model if you are ready to allow the barriers of each cognitive model to break down a bit, if you're going to allow the cognitive models to interact. So that requires an awareness of fallibility, so recognition, the fact that your cognitive model may not tell the whole story. And that obviously relates to stuff we were discussing about the arts yesterday. So that's why I think there were two basic requirements for justifying our beliefs. It's not just a question of, is the belief coherent with our other beliefs and with evidence, but also, is that belief, I can't say, is the belief itself aware, but is it consistent with an awareness of fallibility? Have we taken on board psychologically that this isn't the whole picture? So that kind of awareness is prevented by metaphysics. That's the basic problem with metaphysics, so it's not just about what metaphysical claims involve and whether you can prove them and all those sorts of issues. That is, of course, sort of important as well, but it's the psychological effect of metaphysics in preventing us from recognising that our cognitive models are not the whole story. So one of the key features of metaphysics is that it takes a particular cognitive model to be total and absolute.